From Boston to Springfield and Worcester, down to Providence and Cape Cod, up through New Hampshire and Maine, New England's home for Boston sports. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station. The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Get in the gym, my man. You're going to have 25 minutes a night. Yabu, get in the gym. Both of you guys have an unbelievable opportunity. We don't need someone else. We got Time Lord and Yabu, the dancing bear.
And it's time to find out what those guys can do, right? Like, not so much with Robert Williams, but with Yabu, with Shemi.
No, with Robert Williams, too. Yeah, Time Lord needs to be playing and contributing next year. Right. That's the way our roster looks.
We're going to talk Time Lord because he may be a 20 to 25-minute guy this upcoming season for the Celtics.
All right, so that's on NBC Sports Boston tonight. You heard Scalabrine, you heard Chris Forsberg there weighing in on their thoughts now that it appears that Al Horford is not going to be returning to the Boston Celtics. Brian Barrett with you for the next 4 hours or so. Your number is 617-779-7937. All right, so let's get you updated on everything going on right now. So first of all, the Celtics have agreed. This is courtesy of Shams Charania. The Celtics have agreed to trade Terry Rozier in a sign-and-trade to the Charlotte Hornets, where Terry's going to make $58 million, so $19 million per season over a three-year contract, which, to me, I can't understand this whatsoever from a Charlotte perspective. And Jeff Goodman, who we chatted with just a little while ago, he was mentioning, where does this put Michael Jordan in terms of the worst owners in the NBA? I guess the only one that's worse is James Dolan, right? James Dolan, think about how bad the Knicks look right now. They traded away a 23-year-old All-Star in Kristaps Porzingis. The main reason they did it was to free up salary cap space, to bring in two max free agents this summer. And Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are going to Brooklyn, not New York. So I guess Michael Jordan ranks right in front of James Dolan for worst owners. This makes no sense to me whatsoever. $19 million per season for Terry Rozier? Really? That guy? No, thank you. But anyway, Michael Jordan wants to take him there in Charlotte. We'll see how that goes for him. All right, so we already know Kyrie Irving's going to Brooklyn. Kevin Durant's going to announce shortly here. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting. He's going to announce shortly that he's going to be signing with the Brooklyn Nets as well. So they'll get max contracts there. And Woj just recently putting out on Twitter that Kemba Walker, as we all knew would happen, or all knew was going to happen, he's agreed to sign a four-year, $141 million contract with the Celtics. His agent, Excel Sports, Jeff Schwartz, tells ESPN. So that's from Adrian Wojnarowski. So Kemba Walker, now remember, part of the talk today was, well, will there be a three-team sign-and-trade that includes the Celtics, the Hornets, and the Nets as it pertains to Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, and Terry Rozier. Now, Terry Rozier was part of a sign-and-trade, but it's not the big one, and Kemba Walker is just signing for 4 years, $141 million. And from Steve Volpett's reporting, Al Horford is not going to return to the Celtics, even if they can possibly open up the cap space to make that happen financially. Apparently, he doesn't want to come back to the Boston Celtics. We still don't know where he's going to go. We know this. Multiple people reported today that Horford does not want to become a member of the Sacramento Kings, who apparently are making him a big-time offer, but he doesn't want to go there. So we still have no idea what's going to happen with Al Horford. All right, and the other thing, getting back to the Kemba Walker conversation, who is going to be a Boston Celtic, who basically this is the only team he was looking at. Now, apparently Dallas was interested. There were some other teams that were interested in Kemba. But once he found out that he was not going to be a Charlotte Hornet, his eyes turned to Boston, and that's where he wants to be. Now, from a cultural standpoint, I understand that the players are going to be happy, the coaching staff is going to be happy, Danny Ainge is going to be happy. So I understand all that, and I got to imagine, from a player's perspective, a teammate perspective, it's got to feel great that you have a guy in Kemba Walker coming in here who apparently everybody that's ever played with the guy loves him, right? So I understand that from a personality standpoint, if you will. But my whole thing with Kemba Walker is this, and this is my stance on Kemba Walker from the first time we heard that Kemba Walker was going to join the Boston Celtics, is if you're going to sign these guys, max-level contract players, does he change you in terms of the landscape in the Eastern Conference? And I just don't see this unless there's another piece to come. And that's going to be Danny Ainge's job over the next couple of hours here. What's going to happen with that cap space that he's opening up in terms of the sign and trade with Terry Rozier, right? What's going to happen with the final roster elements, if you will, for Danny Ainge and the Boston Celtics? That's what I want to know, because with Kemba Walker as the main guy, with Kemba Walker as the engine of this offense, this team isn't any better than it was a season ago. And I understand what Jeff Goodman's saying. From a personality standpoint, from a cultural standpoint, it's got to be better. And I think we would all acknowledge that because we all know what Kyrie Irving did to this team in terms of how he basically destroyed the locker room. We can go through all the things that Kyrie Irving did that affected this Celtics organization in a poor manner, right? There's tons of examples of that. But in terms of on the court, now there's no Al Horford. So you have Kemba Walker. You have the young players in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. What else do you really have with this team right now? You have Gordon Hayward. I guess you're hoping that Gordon Hayward can get somewhere back to his Utah form, but we never really saw that last year, and I understand the Celtics were spinning it. Well, this really is a two-year recovery. We'll see if that's the case, but Gordon Hayward, to me this year, looked like he was too damn big. Looked like he put on too much weight in his upper body, did not look near the athlete that he was. Clearly, he lost explosion. He admitted himself he lost explosion. So you're really hoping that Gordon Hayward can get back to form. But now with it just being Kemba Walker and the young players on the team, are you any better than you were a season ago? And the easy answer is no. This Celtics team on paper is not as good as they were a year ago. And does it change you in terms of your contender status? No, it doesn't, bringing in Kemba Walker. It's one thing if you bring in one of the superstar free agents of the world, right? If you were bringing in a Kawhi Leonard, that's different. Kemba Walker doesn't change the narrative for this organization in terms of competing for a championship in the near future. So that's why when I look at this, unless there is another piece that's coming that is on top of Kemba Walker in terms of his status in the NBA, then what does Kemba Walker really do for this organization? That's the question that I've had. Because if it's me, I look at this team right now, and you have two building blocks, right? Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And from my perspective, you want to find out if those guys are going to be superstars in the long term, right? Because remember, both these guys are former third overall selections in the draft. So by definition, you're saying to yourself, we believe that these guys can carry an organization. We believe that these guys can be stars in the future. And clearly this past season, their development was halted, partly because of Kyrie and partly because of the head coach, Brad Stevens. The way that Brad Stevens treated Jaylen Brown this year, not good. Not good, okay? So you're telling me Jaylen Brown loses his job. Okay, struggled at the beginning of the season, and then he had the injury, never got it back. But he doesn't have the opportunity to win the job back. But Marcus Morris, and I get technically that it was Marcus Smart that went in for Jaylen Brown and it was Marcus Morris that went in for Gordon Hayward, but Marcus Morris can struggle in January and February and March, and Jaylen Brown can't get that job. The time that Jaylen Brown gets his starting spot back, we have to wait all the way until the postseason, and the reason he got it back was because Marcus Smart was dealing with an injury. So I put some of the blame on Brad Stevens for why Jaylen Brown didn't develop more this year. Now, the second half of the season, he turned out to be the second best player for the Celtics, all because of himself, not because of Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens, he was in the doghouse for some inexplicable reason because he missed some shots at the beginning of the year. But then Marcus Morris could hijack the offense at times, and there were no repercussions for his actions whatsoever. So I put some of that on Brad with the Jason Tatum situation. I look at it as the guy developed a lot of bad habits. He shot a lot of bad twos, long twos, and he never got to the free throw line, right? Attempted 2.9 free throws per game. Now, bringing in Kemba Walker, is that going to change that? That's the question. Now, Jeff Goodman feels that Kemba Walker is going to help with those guys in terms of the development. But when I look at Kemba Walker, remember, this has been somebody that's been a score-first point guard throughout his career, and you can give me the fact that, oh, maybe he didn't have the teammates around him that were required for him to be a better passer. And probably his assist numbers go up. Kyrie Irving last year, career high in assists, if you will. But my whole thing is this. Why would I bring in a guy to be the main engine of this team, right? Because that's what Kemba Walker is going to be. He's going to be the main engine here. I want to find out, and I understand I have questions about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I don't like the fact that Jason Tatum's handle is a little bit too loose. Not great for me. Doesn't get to the free throw line. I mentioned the long twos. So I have questions with their games. But I want to find out if those guys are ever going to be stars in the long term. That's what I need to know, because here's the reality of how this NBA works. You don't build around your point guard. That's not how you win in the NBA. The only small point guard that has won recently in the NBA is Steph Curry. And he just so happens to be the greatest shooter in the history of the sport. You just tried to build around a small point guard in Kyrie Irving, and it didn't work out. And Kemba Walker, and I get that he's a better cultural guy, he's not as good of a player as Kyrie Irving is. So now you're doing the same thing with a lesser version of Kyrie Irving in terms of the player on the court. And from my perspective, you think about who wins in this league. It's wings, right? It's Kawhi Leonard. It's Kevin Durant. It's LeBron James. The only small point guards that have been the best players on championship teams in the NBA, Isaiah Thomas, the original, and Steph Curry. That's it. You look through the history of the league, small point guards don't win you championships. So the possibility of Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown ever being the best player on a championship team, those odds are actually better than Kemba Walker ever being the best player on a championship team. I get that Kemba's the significantly better player now, right? He was an all-NBA performer. But I'm telling you, this type of player doesn't get you to championship status in the NBA. So the question I have is, what's the point of making the move if it doesn't bring you to contender status? Unless Danny Ainge has another trick up his sleeve, unless he's going to spin some of his assets off and pick up a star player that's above Kemba Walker, then what is this all for? What is the Kemba Walker era in Boston all for? Just to make sure you stay relevant? Because this doesn't make you any sort of championship contender. So that's the concern that I've had with this move the whole time, is if it doesn't make you a championship contender, what's the point of going out and making a move like this for a guy that we know, and it's nothing against Kemba Walker, we know that he's going to dominate the ball a lot. Now, I understand people are saying, well, he didn't have great teammates in Charlotte. I'm not saying he's a ball hog, but by definition, he's a ball-dominant guard, right? He is a small point guard that's a score-first point guard. That's what he does. He likes to score. That's his best attribute, is as a scorer. So naturally, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to have to take back seats again. And I understand everybody says he's a great teammate, so I'm sure Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to like being around Kemba Walker a lot more than they liked being around Kyrie Irving, even though apparently Kyrie and Jason Tatum were friends, right? Apparently that was the case, although it doesn't appear that Kyrie Irving was a great friend to Jason Tatum, especially considering he got mad at the end of the game where Jason Tatum got the final shot against Orlando. I mean, I can't imagine that Jason Tatum was happy about that. So I'm sure they're going to like Kemba Walker the person. But if I was Jaylen Brown or I was Jason Tatum, I would look around the NBA and look around guys that were taken in similar positions in the draft. Like Luka Doncic has the keys there in Dallas. Okay, he has the keys to the organization where they're building around him. Trae Young in Atlanta, he's gotten the keys to the organization. You look at the fact that in Sacramento, De'Aaron Fox, he's got the keys to the team. In Memphis, Ja Morant's about to get the keys to the team. Zion Williamson, same thing in New Orleans. And if I'm Jason Tatum and I'm Jaylen Brown, I got to be sitting back here saying, all right, we just dealt with this knucklehead in Kyrie Irving for the past year after we got a taste in the playoffs a couple of years ago where we each averaged 18 points per game and Jaylen shot 46% from the field and 39 from three. He was really outstanding. And again, we're going to have to take a backseat to a ball-dominant point guard. As great of a person as Kemba Walker may be, the reality is that these two individuals, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, are not going to have the best opportunity to show their skills, to show their skill set, to see if they can actually carry a team. They're not going to be given the keys to the kingdom like all these other young guys that are supposed to be superstars in the NBA are being given that opportunity. And that's what I don't understand from Danny Ainge's angle here. Unless there's another piece that's coming down the road here for this Celtics team, that's what I don't understand about the game plan of the Celtics, if you will. Because, all right, you had this master plan, and Danny Ainge, I don't blame for it going wrong. I don't blame him for it going wrong. You wanted Al Horford, you picked him up. Picked up another big-name free agent, or at least a pretty big-name free agent, in Gordon Hayward. Then you trade for Kyrie Irving, and everything is supposed to come from there because eventually you have all these assets you got from the Brooklyn Nets. You're going to trade one of your young players, whether it be Tatum or Brown or some of the assets away, to bring in an Anthony Davis, and you have Davis and Kyrie going for it. So that's not Danny Ainge's fault. He couldn't pull that off because Kyrie just didn't want to be here. Okay, he became a malcontent. He became unhappy. So I'm not putting that on Danny Ainge. I'm putting that on Kyrie Irving, the person. Nobody could have predicted that Kyrie Irving was going to be this disruptive in a locker room, right? He was the NBA version of Terrell Owens. That's how disruptive he was in the locker room. Nobody could imagine that Kyrie Irving would be this disruptive. So I don't put that on Danny Ainge. But the reality is, if you're Danny Ainge, you now have to take your medicine and realize and recalibrate where the organization is, because it feels like to me the Kemba Walker deal is a little bit of desperation, right? It's like you're trying to save what you had with Kyrie Irving, bringing in a similar player, really a very similar player to Kyrie Irving. I get Kemba more of a pick and roll guy and Kyrie Irving more of an isolation guy, but you get the point, both ball dominant, smaller point guards. It feels like to me they're grasping to stay relevant. They're grasping to something that they don't really have the ability to get to, which is getting to an NBA championship with Kemba Walker as your guy. That's why when I look at this whole process, if you will, this whole plan to the offseason with Kemba Walker, that's what I really don't get about it. What are you trying to do here? Are you trying to just be the Indiana Pacers, which is a mediocre team? That's where I see the Celtics at right now. They'll be much more fun to watch next year, no doubt about that, because the guys on the team will actually like each other. They'll be in the playoffs. They'll be gritty and all that. But are they a better team? Are they an actually legitimate threat to make a run to an NBA championship? And I don't see that, so I don't understand why you pay max money to a guy that doesn't get you to that next level, if you will. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you on WEI. Let's get to Jake. He's in a car. What's up, Jake?
Wow, I've been listening to you. Now I don't know what to say because I had that exact same take on this. Absolutely. They're spending max money on a guy that's not going to make them any better. It's going to take away from the development of the young kids, which they have to see what they are because they're going to have to pay them in a couple of years. And
right.
For what? You're right on the money. And you're the only one I've heard say this.
Well,
I mean,
Jake,
that guy that was just on the phone, he must have been part of, must be the president of the Kemba fan club or part of his PR team. Where does he think that this guy's going to turn into a pass-first type of guy? He's never been that. He can't base it on history.
Well, Jake,
so he's just hoping.
Yeah, Jake, here's the thing. Like, clearly, this team, in terms of the culture and the camaraderie of the group, it's going to be much better with Kemba Walker than Kyrie because we know Kyrie destroyed the team. Everybody can acknowledge that. And I'm sure Kemba is going to be a great guy in the locker room and all that. And this, for me, this isn't something that I have against Kemba Walker. I don't have any ill will towards the player. In fact, when he's wearing a Celtics uniform, I'll probably enjoy watching him play. But just from a broader perspective, looking from a further viewpoint, it's like, what is this all going to do for the Celtics? Because if you're not about winning championships, what are you about in that league? And it seems like right now the Celtics are going to be mediocre. And I'm wondering if Danny Ainge realizes that they're going to be mediocre, or he thinks that Kemba Walker is going to come into this system that Brad Stevens has here in Boston, and all of a sudden this is going to be a championship contender. Because the reality is, this doesn't make you a championship contender. So I don't know what Danny Ainge's plan is. Does he actually think Kemba makes this team a legitimate threat to win an NBA championship, or is he just fine with being a mediocre team a la the Indiana Pacers? That's what I don't know.
No, I'm with you. He can't think that he's going to elevate to his champion contenders. If he really believes that, then we got to get a new GM. I mean, it's pretty obvious. And right on the money, man, that was all I ever hear from the Celtics. We're championship-driven. We want banners. This is not going to bring us closer to a banner. We have to calibrate for the next Anthony Davis type of trade. Kemba's not going to bring us there. We've got to save every asset we have, all our cap money, develop the young players. We got that Memphis pick, and hope that we can pick up that alpha player because Kemba's a good little someone that takes luck. He belongs in L.A. with the other two.
Oh, with LeBron, yeah, with LeBron and Anthony Davis, yeah.
Yeah, he'd do great there. And like you say, he's a great guy, and he's going to be a fun player. But he's not an efficient player. He's not an efficient scorer. He's going on 30 years old. He's not like he's 25. I could understand it a little more.
Yeah.
I don't see the point. There's nothing going forward in 3 years from now that says Kemba's going to make us better when we need to be. We have to look out 3 years to become a champion. We're not going to do it in the next year or two.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Yeah, Jake, I appreciate the call, Jake. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. So I would ask you this, too. Would Bill Belichick have signed this contract? A 29-year-old point guard, okay, where point guards in the NBA, small point guards in the NBA with the exception, rather, of John Stockton, they age like bananas. It gets ugly really, really quickly. So there's going to be at least 1 year in this deal for Kemba Walker that is bad. That's just naturally how it's going to happen. And remember, under the radar, Kemba Walker has not missed a lot of games, but he has had multiple knee procedures. So his knees, they may go out quicker than we think they're going to go out. Would Bill Belichick actually make this deal for Kemba Walker, a 29-year-old aging point guard. And look, he had the best season of his career. But I'm wondering, would you think that Bill Belichick would ever make a deal like this? For the history of the position tells you that these guys break down quicker than most other positions in the NBA. In fact, they break down quicker than all other positions in the NBA. Would Bill Belichick actually make this move? All right. So if you want to hop on board here, your number is 617-779-7937. A lot of things here. Kemba Walker is going to be a Boston Celtic. You have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving teaming up in Brooklyn. What are your thoughts on that? Also, Terry Rozier is getting $58 million from the Charlotte Hornets. And what do you want to see Danny Ainge do now? Now that Kemba's in the fold, what does Danny Ainge have to do next? And you tell me, what do you think right now Danny Ainge's plan is? What is his master plan in this whole thing? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI. We'll give you a trending in just a second.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
He has decided to sign a four-year, $141 max contract with the Celtics. Jeff Schwartz telling ESPN, this is interesting to me on a couple levels, including that he traveled up to Boston, Woj reported.
The interesting thing about this is that it looks like the Hornets are going to replace Kemba with Terry Rozier.
Yes.
And so it leaves open the possibility, from what I'm told, an $18 million a year deal for Terry Rozier, which is huge money.
I mean,
yeah. The way the Hornets have handled this is not ideal. That said, they are going to try to salvage it. And the Celtics and Hornets can do business with each other on a sign and trade with Rozier and Kemba Walker.
All right, so they're discussing it on The Jump. Kemba Walker about to be a Boston Celtic. 617-779-7937. That was Rachel Nichols and Brian Windhorst there. So Kemba Walker becomes a Celtic, and the Charlotte Hornets get back Terry Rozier for $58 million. And you heard Brian Windhorst say it there. The Hornets really handled this whole thing poorly. You could have traded Kemba Walker like a year ago and actually gotten some real value for the guy. And instead, because of the Charlotte Hornets having the All-Star game in Charlotte 2 years ago, they didn't want to trade Kemba because they wanted Kemba to be at the game. So you're in the lottery every year with this guy as your main piece, and you wouldn't trade him because you wanted to make sure he was available to be your representation at your own All-Star game. That's essentially why they didn't trade him, and then they didn't trade him this year. I have no idea why the Charlotte Hornets decided this was their going to be their logic behind this one, because they didn't want to pay him, clearly. They offered him $62 million less dollars than he could have gotten from the team. They didn't want to pay him. Why the hell did you keep him around? Now, maybe they thought, well, he's not going to make all NBA, so maybe we can just get him on a traditional max. But if that's your thinking, why the hell do you want the player anyway? Why do you want the player anyway? That's what I don't get with this whatsoever. My question mark now, though, with the Celtics team as it pertains to Kemba Walker, is where do they go from here? This doesn't make you like a legitimate threat. This doesn't make you a team that is competing for any sort of championship. So what is this all for with Kemba Walker? It just doesn't make sense to me. The way that I would have rather play this out is just build around the young core. Build around the young guys, because your one plan with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown could have been to trade them off for assets. Clearly that didn't happen, right? That didn't happen. Now, whether or not you want to revisit the Kawhi Leonard thing and say, well, why didn't you put Jaylen Brown in a possible Kawhi Leonard deal? Now, maybe the Spurs never make that trade anyway. Maybe they liked, for whatever reason, the DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl package more than a Jaylen Brown. But you didn't want to put Jaylen Brown in that deal. And then we saw that you couldn't really do anything with Jason Tatum this summer because Kyrie Irving wasn't giving you a commitment. And Anthony Davis was saying he's only going to be here for 1 year. So now that that's out of the realm of possibility, if you will, you're not going to use these guys to acquire superstars. It seems like all the superstars in this league essentially are free agents, right? You're talking about Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant's on his way to Brooklyn. Like, all these guys are players that are free agents right now. So who's like the superstar right now that's disgruntled? I just don't see it. Bradley Beal isn't on that level, and apparently Washington isn't trading him anyway. So there's just really not that guy right now that you can target that's like the disgruntled superstar with your young assets. So clearly you're not trading away Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum at this particular point. So me, the other option that you have with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown is, call me crazy, right? But these guys are former number three overall picks. You could see if these guys are franchise pillars going forward. And from my perspective on the court, because I get everything Kemba Walker does from a cultural standpoint, it's going to be way better than playing with Kyrie. But I'm talking about actual on the court stuff. He at least takes away from the progression of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. they're not going to have the ability to have the team be their team. So I don't understand why you want to be on this treadmill of mediocrity, if you will, because it seems like that's where the Celtics are heading with Kemba Walker as the main guy coming in. Because Kemba Walker is going to be the alpha and the omega of this offense. He's going to be the main piece. Now, is it going to be to the extent that Kyrie was? Maybe not, because he's not as much of an isolation player. But Brad Stevens always has had a ball-dominant guard. That's how he's... Isaiah Thomas, Kyrie Irving, now you have Kemba Walker. He's going to be the hub of the offense, right? He's going to be the main guy in this offense. So now when I look at this thing going forward, what does it do for the long-term stability of this organization? And I just don't think like you're giving Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown a fair opportunity to prove if they're championship-caliber players, if they have the ability to eventually develop into multi-time all-stars. I feel like you've ripped that opportunity away from these guys because you're bringing in a 29-year-old point guard, which I just don't understand the process and the thought behind that. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. If you're fine being the Pacers, that's your prerogative, I guess. You're the one running the organization if you're Danny Ainge. But if it was me, I'd much rather see what I have with these young players and build around them. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to Mark. He's in a car. What's going on, Mark?
Well, I would say the Celtics are better today than they were yesterday. And Kemba did average 6 assists a game with Charlotte. He should be able to do a little better than that with the players around him. But we still need a good 4 or 5, above average 4 or 5, to get excited, in my opinion.
You know what, John? It's a great point. Who the hell's playing center for this team? Who's going to be the center for this team right now? Who is going to play center? Because apparently Al Horford, according to Steve Bolpet of the Boston Herald, he doesn't want to come back even if you could create the salary cap room. So he's not coming back. Who is going to be this team's starting center? That's what I'm wondering. I appreciate the call, John. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. We still have to fill out this roster, right? Who the hell is going to play center for the Celtics next year? Daniel Tice? Robert Williams? I'm sure they're going to spend some money on somebody here, but that player is not going to put you over the top. That player is a downgrade from Al Horford for sure. You think about all these teams out there that want to offer Al Horford max money. Clearly, the guy has a ton of value on the open market. So who are you going to bring in here? You're going to bring in like the Robin Lopez's of the world? What the hell does Robin Lopez do for you? What the hell does Robin Lopez do for this Celtics team right now? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. It seems like this team is desperate to stay relevant, so they're going with a guy like Kemba Walker to build the team around, and now they're going to try to fill out the rest of the roster. They're not bringing back Al Horford from all the reports we see here, even though that apparently was their goal. Apparently that's not going to happen now. So what is this team? What is this Celtics team right now? What is their plan? That's what I'd like to know. 617-779-7937. Let's get to John in Hampton. What's up, John?
Hey, thanks for having me.
What do you got?
Well, I call in, I talk about the Celtics just because the Red Sox, we don't want to talk about that. And I've always felt that the NBA is fake and rigged, and I felt like Kyrie was the big-name player that would get the calls from the refs that you kind of require. You buy a championship in the NBA. You don't create one. You don't have chemistry. That's how I always felt. But I feel like it's kind of toned down. But I see what they're going after with Kemba Walker, with Kyrie. They're trying to replace IT and what he did for the team. But ultimately what I'm trying to get to is what they definitely need. They need a beast of a defensive middle center, force. That's what they need. He doesn't have to be a great shooter. I mean, Al was soft. He could run the pick and roll and take a good shot, but he couldn't protect the middle and be a monster down low, and that's what we need. We need like a Ben Wallace.
Yeah, but John, hold on, John. This team was always up in the top tier of defensive efficiency with Brad Stevens and Al Horford, who is one of the best defensive players from a metric perspective in the league. Like, he's always been a quality defender. I don't think Al's defense was the issue with this team.
I just feel that he didn't protect the rim. I feel like he was soft and always settling for the jumper. I want a guy who's going up and throwing it down and playing like an absolute monster down low, who's going to play hard. Like, because the perimeter D is impressive, and it's great, and the guys play their hearts out, and that's why we love them.
Yeah.
But they didn't play their hearts out this season because they were so upset to be playing with Kyrie.
Okay, but John, here's my question to you, John. Here's my question to you when it comes to that whole conversation about the center. Who are you going out there that's going to deliver what you're saying? Are you trading for Steven Adams? Are you trading for Clint Capella? Like, are those the guys you're looking at?
You know, I wish I had the answer. All I know is that's what they need. That's the basketball's a game of chemistry, and I feel like they have the ability to score, and they have the athleticism. They just don't have that absolute rebounding monster. I mean, how many times they give up offensive rebounds off of free throws? I mean, they need somebody who at least knows how to box out and can rip the rebounds and go up and slam an alley-oop dunk that's thrown up to, you know, somebody who's going to be an absolute monster down low.
You're right about the rebounding issues, John. I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like to. It's 617-779-7937. You're right about the rebound issues. That's been a trend with this team, not just this year, but over the past couple of years. That's been an issue with this team as well, is that they do struggle in terms of the defensive boards. But I just don't see the big guy that you're going to sign right now that's going to be any sort of an upgrade over Al Horford, right? Robin Lopez, not going to be an upgrade over Al Horford. Even if you trade for a Steven Adams, not an upgrade over Al Horford, right? So all these guys are not what Al Horford provided you with. I understand that in terms of the money, that's why people think Al Horford was overrated, because of the money. That's the only reason, because he gives you quality stuff all over the court. He's a great passer. He can shoot and stretch the defense, so you got to respect him in terms of a pick and roll. We know he can defend multiple positions. So it doesn't have anything to do about Al Horford's game. It's all about the money he was making. People get so caught up in the money with Al Horford. Like, people got to realize max level players, it isn't just given out to guys that are on the first team and second team all NBA. That's not how a max contract works out. There's a lot of guys that are max contract that aren't superstars in the league. Al Horford does enough stuff to justify being a max contract player. Now, the one thing I will say as it pertains to Al Horford, the one question I have about Al Horford is this. We heard that everybody in the Celtics locker room loved Al Horford, right? Everybody loves Al Horford, okay? Al Horford's a leader. He's a great vet. How come Al Horford didn't play a role in stopping all the crap in this locker room? Because clearly Kyrie was completely out of control, right? I mean, we've seen all the stories. We've heard all the stories. We all know that Kyrie was an issue in the locker room. If Al Horford was this great leader and Al Horford was this great teammate, why didn't he stop anything? Why did this locker room continue to be the biggest mess in the NBA? If Al Horford was so great at leading players, if Al Horford was such a great locker room presence, why was this locker room still a mess with Al Horford? That's my question. Al Horford, oh, he's a great guy, great teammate guy. Oh, yeah, that's great. Well, what happened when Kyrie Irving was throwing everybody under the bus? Did Al Horford do anything to stop that? Apparently not. Apparently Al Horford didn't step in and do anything. And again, we saw that story from Jackie McMullen. Kyrie Irving was upset that guys were going out late in Miami after 2 a.m. They went out when they landed in Miami. Did Al Horford stop anybody from going out? I don't know. Apparently not. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Bob in New Hampshire. What's up, Bob? Bob, you got to be ready when we go to you. Bob's off. All right, let's go to Matt in Attleboro. What's up, Matt?
So I just seen, obviously, we got the Kemba Walker deal. Why, my question is, we would go after a 29-year-old point guard who historically cannot shoot the ball well, when Malcolm Brogdon just signed with the Pacers for 4 years at $85 million. In my opinion, Malcolm Brogdon was a 50-40-90 guy.
Yep.
Much better player. Much better ball spacer. Can play some defense. You see what he did to us in the playoffs. He absolutely torched us.
He was their second-best player in the Raptors series, Matt.
100%. And in my opinion, I say he was their best player in two out of those games because he was put down Giannis for a little while and not Brogdon picked up the slot.
Well, and Matt, I was saying this the other night. My thing is this, like, all right, so Malcolm Brogdon isn't a superstar-level player, but as you said, he can shoot the basketball. He's 6'5". He's a very good defensive player. He fits with the timeline of Tatum and Jaylen Brown, where he's 25, 26 years old. Next year will be his 26-year-old season. I understand he's had some foot issues, but he's not going to take away touches from Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And it's nothing against Kemba Walker. It's just he naturally is going to take touches away from those guys. So I much rather have a point guard or a guard to bring in here like a Malcolm Brogdon. Or the other name I floated, and he's a little bit older, is Patrick Beverley, because Beverley's a guy that's going to play great defense and he's going to sit in the corner offensively and shoot. I want to see if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are superstars. That's what I don't get about the plan here. I feel like Kemba Walker doesn't enable you to find out if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to be superstars.
And you will never be able to find that out. So if we had a Patrick Beverley, we have a Marcus Smart, who in my opinion was Tony Allen 2.0. Ask Tony Allen less. He's not a great shooter, but he plays great. He plays with great heart. You need him on your team. Now, imagine having a Beverley and a Marcus Smart the last 2 minutes of the game up by three, got on the perimeter, which would be basically unstoppable with those two guys playing with their heart. Now, if you have a Malcolm Brogdon who can shoot the three, that leaves Jason Tatum open. Now, what are you going to do with the last 2 minutes? You want to foul? You got Malcolm Brogdon who can shoot free throws. You got Tatum who can shoot free throws. And it's like, to me, it's more about Danny Ainge kind of showing some chink in his armor, kind of like one of those risky signings just to get the fans off his back. Like, hey, look at me. I couldn't make this happen with Kyrie, so let me sign Kemba Walker. And that's what I see out of all of this. It's more Danny Ainge getting desperate, trying to get the fans off his back, trying to show that he's not losing it, because that's what it boils down to me, because Kemba Walker obviously was getting out of Charlotte no matter what.
Yeah.
They didn't want to pay him. Michael Jordan basically told him, like, hey, this is what I think you're worth, and go get more on the open market because we're not going to pay you here.
Yeah, Matt, and I certainly appreciate the call. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. And to his point, the other thing that I would look at is, now that you think about this thing and going forward with the Celtics, I wonder if this was Danny Ainge getting pressure from ownership, or Danny Ainge just being so competitive, right, where the competitiveness could have clouded his judgment, where he's saying, I can't just lose Kyrie and not be a threat in the Eastern Conference. Well, we just found out with Kyrie, you're not a threat in the Eastern Conference. You just lost 4-1 to the Milwaukee Bucks, who are pretty much, outside of Brogdon, bringing the same team back. Like, the Greek Freak is still going to be residing in the Eastern Conference for the foreseeable future, at least 2 more years, unless he decides that he wants out. Like, most of these NBA superstars are starting to think, like, oh, let me get out of my first team, go to another team. Maybe the Greek Freak is the next guy to do that. But anyway, for now, he's still a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. So when I look at it, maybe was Danny Ainge like, oh, I got to make sure I get something for Kyrie right away. And maybe ownership's like, we can't just fall off. Were you not willing to stomach maybe an up and down year, a rocky year, trying to build around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? That's what it seems like to me, is they panicked and they signed a 29-year-old point guard who now you're going to give the keys to the kingdom to, instead of the two guys that you drafted with the third overall selections in back-to-back years. All right, what do you make of your Celtics right now? Are you a fan of the Kemba Walker move? 617-779-7937 is your number. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I mean, an open opportunity system. Brad's going to put you in a position to be successful no matter who you are. And I think if those reports are true and if Kemba is a Celtic, he's going to have a hell of a time here. The city's amazing. The organization is great. And he's talented. He got hoop game. He's a hooper, so no matter where he's going to go, he's going to shine. But being put in a position where Brad's going to put you in, I think he's going to be successful.
All right, that's Isaiah Thomas on NBC Sports Boston talking about Kemba Walker now becoming the newest member of the Boston Celtics. Isaiah Thomas, of course, still looking for a job. 617-779-7937 is your number. I really do feel awful for Isaiah Thomas. This guy can't stick on a roster anymore. He went from being a fringy MVP candidate to not getting along with LeBron and not being the same player after the hip injury, going to the Lakers, being irrelevant there. Then on Denver this year, he was out of the rotation. They gave him courtesy minutes in that game against the Celtics just because it was back in Boston against the Celtics. That guy can't find a team. What's he going to do? Is he going to play in the big three? I mean, I don't see where he's going to get an opportunity in the NBA now after everything that's gone on with him. From a health perspective, he's proven he can't get back to that level. Now, Jeff Goodman, we chatted with him about an hour ago. He thinks this could be an upgrade going from Kyrie to Kemba. I look at the rest of the roster, though. Even if you think it's a slight upgrade, right? Even if you think because of the off-the-court stuff that Kemba Walker brings to the Celtics, the leadership, basically not being Kyrie is like one of the biggest strengths for Kemba Walker. The fact that he's not going to go out there and throw everybody under the bus. And Jeff Goodman said he's been a great teammate. He chatted with Frank Kaminsky about him. And Kemba Walker, everything you hear about him is good news, right? So there's that element. Maybe by being 85% of what Kyrie is as a player, and the fact that he helps you in terms of the cultural aspect, maybe it makes for more of a cohesive unit, if you will. But I just don't understand the plan with a 29-year-old point guard. I don't get how this benefits the long-term future and the long-term success of the Boston Celtics. That's my concern. I don't see how this helps you long-term. In the short term, it keeps you relevant, but you're not a championship contender. So I just don't understand what the point of this signing is from Danny Ainge's perspective. That's why I'm not a fan of the signing. I just would rather either build around Tatum and Brown and see those guys thrive, and indirectly, or directly, I should say, Kemba Walker will take opportunities away from him. Not in like a mean or aggressive way. It's just he's going to be a ball-dominant guard. That's who he is. So he's going to naturally take opportunities away from those guys. So when are we going to find out if Tatum or Brown are ever going to be the superstars we thought they could. We saw them get an opportunity in the playoffs. They looked pretty damn good 2 years ago. I'd rather see that for a full season and find out what you have with two guys you took third overall rather than bringing in a guy that's going to take a ton of opportunities away from those guys. That's why I advocated for a point guard like a Patrick Beverley or a Malcolm Brogdon, who's not going to dominate the ball. They can shoot. They can play defense. That's what made more sense to me. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Jeff in Brockton. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, I just think the Celtics, Kemba is actually like a good thing for them. I think Kemba is an upgrade from Kyrie, but they need to make a sacrifice.
Jeff, you're talking about as a pure player or just because of all the other stuff that comes with him, like the attitude and not disrupting the team? Or do you just mean as a pure basketball player, Kemba's an upgrade? Because I disagree with that.
I think as a pure basketball
Jeff, to your point, what do you think it is that Kemba does better than Kyrie Irving?
Kemba, like, he just has that dog in him, but at the same time, he's willing to give it to someone else to make a play rather than Kyrie. I feel like Kyrie, like, at the end of games, like, he will take it and go all the way to the basket, even if he has, like, three guys on him just to win the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that. I had my aggravation with Kyrie Irving, too, where I felt like at the end of games, he didn't pass the ball whatsoever. We saw it in the Milwaukee series where he was just basically on an island. But I don't see much on a basketball court in terms of just playing. I'm not talking about the culture stuff off the court. I don't see what Kemba does better than Kyrie. Kyrie's a 40% career three-point shooter. Kemba's at about 35. Kyrie's a better ball handler. Look, Kemba's a really good ball handler. He's not as good as Kyrie. Kyrie is somebody that has been more proven at a high level than Kemba as well. He's a better natural scorer than Kemba Walker. I just don't see what it is in terms of the basketball perspective that Kemba does better. Now, if your argument is he's better for the team, I can understand that.
We have seen him play with LeBron James. You know, Kemba has never played with LeBron James. You know, Kemba has never played with a Brad Stevens offense. You know, like
we'll
Kyrie has been he has been playing with great people. You know what I mean? But at the same time, the Celtics need to make a trade. Like, they need to trade Jalen Brown and Marcus Smart for a good thing.
Well, hold on. You want to get rid of Jalen?
Tatum has already proved to me that he's supposed to be, like, the number one guy or the two guy now because Kemba's here. But Jalen Brown, he hasn't proved that. Like, he's been here for 3 years now, so, like, he needs to go. But Smart,
wow.
I feel like you can trade him, too. And you can get like a big man that is a solid big man that we need, and then
like, that's a strong really take, Jeff. I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. That's a strong take, and his phone was breaking up a little bit there at the end. I'm not in the camp that wants to trade Jalen Brown. Now, if you were going to do it last summer for Kawhi Leonard, I'm all on board because that's a superstar level player. But I'm not just trading away Jalen Brown. There's not that disgruntled star, if you will, where somebody's going to take on Jalen Brown because the superstar wants out. That guy's not there anymore. Those guys are gone. Anthony Davis is gone. Kawhi Leonard is gone. That option isn't there anymore, okay? Paul George a couple of years ago wanted out. That option is gone. I want to see, and by the way, to the Tatum-Jalen Brown point, Jalen Brown, second half of this season, was better than Tatum. Jalen Brown had a better overall season in my mind than Jason Tatum did. I thought when you look at Jason Tatum this year, and I get his raw numbers are better, he scored more points, but his efficiency was down. He built up some bad habits, some long twos, did not get to the free throw line near enough. So I think that Jalen Brown had a better season than did Jason Tatum. I thought he progressed more. And that's not saying I'm super low on Jason Tatum. I actually want to see if Jason Tatum can turn into a star. But I would not be willing to just get rid of Jalen Brown to bring in, like, for example, like we saw earlier in the week, a Clint Capella, a big guy, to get rid of Jalen Brown. Wings win in this league. I've seen Jalen Brown already play elite-level defense. His jump shot looks like it's coming around. So I'm willing to bet on Jalen Brown. I don't think you could ever have too many wings. Look at the Warriors when they were winning championships. They have all these guys on the wings. Klay Thompson, 6'5". Andre Iguodala, 6'8". Kevin Durant, now a Brooklyn Net, 6'10". All these guys who can play out in the wing at that size. I love having Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum together. I want to see what they can do as a tandem. So I do not want to get rid of Jalen Brown, especially if it's going to be for a guy like Clint Capella. I mean, that would be overvaluing Clint Capella. All right, what do you make of Kemba Walker, your newest Boston Celtic? Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are teaming up in Brooklyn. What do you make of that? And Terry Rozier got $58 million to become a Charlotte Hornet. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.